Welcome back to All Talk. Tom Jordan and Kevin Dietz. Well, people were worried about Michael Cohen's credibility, and for good reason. He is a convicted criminal. He admitted to lying to Congress. He makes a living going after the accused former President Donald Trump. Credibility could be an issue. So what happens on day one? Michael Cohen, the star witness, he shows his character by announcing he secretly tapes conversations with people, including the former president.
Right.
So, I don't know what the jury thinks of all that, but what a guy.
It's just par for the course, I think they're thinking, for Michael Cohen. So the recording is part of evidence in this trial where, of course, Trump is accused of falsifying business records to conceal these transactions. And Michael Cohen has the proof because he illegally recorded a secretly Donald Trump. Let's go to Todd Flood, attorney at Flood Law, to get into this today. Todd, good morning. Nice to have you back in the program.
Thanks for having me, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, what do you think of this? I mean, given that Michael Cohen recorded Donald Trump secretly, how does this reflect on his, you know, professional ethics and his credibility in a courtroom?
I think that's just like a tip of the iceberg as it relates to his credibility. The first question in cross-examination would be, Mr. Cohen, you don't have morals. You have rules. Well, what do you mean? Well, the rule is, what's in it for you? That's the rule you follow. You'll lie about your name. You'll lie about your taxes. You'll lie in front of Congress. I mean, that's all he does is, you know, I mean, the credibility of this witness. How do we know when you're telling the truth? Do you have a tell? Do you raise your left leg? What is it that you do when you tell the truth? So how do we know, right? So I think that tape can be played both ways. You hear in the tape, and I listened to it last night, can be played both ways. It's why do we got to do that? Trump says, you know, we'll take care of it. We'll take care of it. There's still this threading of the needle in this case, which is, as I said to you guys earlier, I think this case is kind of, it seems an elephant birthing a mouse. It seems to be something more political than anything else. I'm all about law and order. I'm all about no one's above the law. But threading the needle for this to be a felony and a campaign finance gig is, I think, troublesome for the government. But
you have to look. It's really nuanced. Foundation. I mean, you have to look through between the lines here and try to figure out, okay, where was the crime that was committed? And this is a big risk, I would think, for Michael Cohen to admit this, that he secretly recorded Donald Trump. And you would think if he's going to do that, that the payoff would be huge. Like, this is incontrovertible evidence that shows Donald Trump is guilty. Do you think this evidence is that big? Does it show that Trump is guilty of the crimes that he's accused of?
No, because you got to remember that was not with Stormy. That was with someone else. So this is his conduct, his pattern, you know, that they're trying to show that President Trump was detail oriented, very much involved. He's the one that signed the checks, and he is the one that, you know, was a micromanager, if you will. That was but the tape was also, when you hear it, Trump says, well, why do we got to do that? Why do we finance? And then Cohen says, we'll take care of it type deal. And I paraphrase that last part, but ultimately is that he's the man, he's the boss, he's the bully. So it can be played both ways. That's not the coup de grace of whether or not he's found guilty or not guilty. It could go either way. It's just the threading of the needle as it relates to hooking this to the campaign, one, and two, was there direct knowledge as it related to these payments for the campaign finance? And you got to believe Michael Cohen, because Michael Cohen is saying that, hey, listen, Trump told me it doesn't matter if it's after the election, it's, you know, before the election that matters. I could care less because it doesn't mean anything after I'm elected. So you're going to have to believe him hook, line, and sinker. And was he corroborated enough, to have a jury be convinced? Snitches are people that cooperate. And I just heard this fact last night. The government and his attorney, Michael Cohen, went to the government in interviews over 100 times with multiple hours. That is insane to me. So the coaching and sanding and fine-tuning this for the government is pretty amazing.
If you're the defense attorney, what's the strategy for Donald Trump? Do you drag out cross-examination, or you just quickly show Cohen has credibility issues and get this case to the jury as soon as possible?
That's a great question. I think you have to – there's two tacks, and here's the problem. First and foremost is, do you want President Trump as your client? President Trump is going to be the one that dictates the day here, which is horrific for the attorney. And he may want to eviscerate Michael Cohen for a lengthy period of time, wear him out and go at it and just impeach him every which way from Sunday. However, if you're stealth-like and you hit, the big bombs, we learned this in cross-examination. Are you catching bluegill or are you hitting the big mouth bass? I would want to get as many of the big mouth basses into the boat, hit about 5 to 10 of those major points and let it hang over the jury. Let them see how bad this guy really lied. If I'm the government today, I'm taking the wind out of the sails of the defense, and I then go into all the times Cohen lied, and then it's kind of, the balloon's been popped a little bit.
A lot was made out of Cohen's testimony that Trump did not care what his wife thought about the affair, only how it might impact the elections. Is that gossip or is that evidence?
Right now it's gossip. The fact of the matter is it wasn't corroborated, right? But she's the one that said locker room talk, right? That's what Cohen says. Cohen says it was her idea. She didn't care. She knew what she signed up for and with Trump. And she came up with the theory of the embarrassment. It was locker room talk. And then later on, she was interviewed on 60 Minutes and said locker room talk. So how do you disprove that? It's a negative, right? So Cohen could be up there lying. How do we know he's telling the truth on that? It could have been something he listened to and then said, yeah, that's what she told us. And she's not going to testify. The wife's not going to testify. So, the other big part of this is, and the story really hasn't, it was developed a little bit according to what I read last night, but how did Cohen and Trump get together? It was over a bankruptcy deal when he was working for his firm. Trump owed him $100,000 or something to the extent, and Trump had him come into Trump Towers and work directly for Trump. He didn't even go back to his law firm to pick up his stuff. Trump had people go pick it up, and then he knew what he was signed up for. That development of, Cohen's history, if that's true, these two are that gives some credence or credibility to Cohen to some extent.
Right. All right, Todd Flood, we appreciate you watching this for us, and we'll stay in touch with you as this continues on. Todd Flood, attorney at Flood Law, thanks so much for your insight.
Always great being with you guys. Have a great day.
All right.
You too. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Tom, this is getting to the interesting part. This is the star witness. Let's see how this cross-examination goes. I don't think people are thrilled with how the prosecution's presentation has gone.
And one of the big things that hurts their star witness, Michael Cohen, is that he has motive to lie on the stand because he hates Donald Trump and has said he wants him to go to jail.
Coming up next, Tudor Dixon, host of the Tudor Dixon Podcast. A new poll shows what Americans remember and forgot most about the Donald Trump presidency. You're listening to All Talk on WJR.